Welcome to another edition of Beretta Fleur's podcast, where we explore our midlife experience. Where are you in your experience today? Welcome to a new episode of Beretta Fleur du jour. I'm your host, Beretta Fleur. Today, I will be using the B word a lot. That is because this podcast is lovingly titled Boundaries of the Bitch, where we explore what it is to be a woman with boundaries and sometimes vilified because we say no. So recently on a family trip, I was actually in the pool, and my brother-in-law was speaking to a friend of his, and she was having some kind of personal crisis, and she was saying, "I just don't want to be mean. I just don't know how to say no." And he said, "You need to talk to my sister. She's a bitch." Now, I don't have a problem with being called a bitch. I actually think it's a compliment at this point in my age. If you do, I apologize, but I will be using that term as lovingly as possible and as a kind of snarky way of showcasing how we can be vilified when we say no and when we have healthy boundaries. So what are boundaries? Well, I can explain first what boundaries do. Boundaries set expectations for people in your life and help you manage expectations well. Boundaries help you take care of yourself, your assets, and manage your time and energy. Boundaries also help eliminate relationships and habits in your life which are toxic and unhelpful, and which suck all your energy, time, and assets. When I was in my 20s, I read a magical book called Boundaries: When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. If you're interested, you can find it on Kindle and in paperback. I think it's been updated recently too. But for me, it was kind of eye-opening in the sense that it taught me that I largely control the world's reactions to me. And I'm not talking about every situation, but I'm talking about the way in which people in my life relate to me, the way in which my coworkers and employers relate to me, as well as my clients. And once I realized that I had more control over this than I thought, it was a total game changer, and it really helped me navigate and grapple with the complex emotional relationships that this life demands of us. So those are examples of what boundaries do and why they're good. But what's an example of a boundary? If you follow my work, you might be familiar with a little boundaries chart and a chapter I did on boundaries in Beretta Fleur's Guide to Parties and Homemaking, Hosting the Style, Beretta Fleur's Guide to Parties and Homemaking. Check it out. No, but I actually did a chapter on this because it absolutely fascinated me. And boundaries also help you throw really great parties. So in that book, I had a chart and a kind of example of what was a boundary and what was not a boundary and being dysfunctional. So one example would be, in which I cited, was that you have a friend, Laura, and Laura crashes her car. And Laura wants to use your car. The dysfunctional response to that would be, sure, you can use my car, absolutely. A boundary might be, Laura, I will take you where you need to go. If you give me a schedule of where you can go, I can help you out with rides. If Laura's car broke down, you might work something out with Laura where you say, Laura, you can borrow my car, but we have to make sure that the insurance is taken care of. You have to fill it up with gas. You can only borrow it for this time, and I need it back by whenever. And that's because Laura has proven herself previously to be responsible. So that gives you a good example of, in that situation, you would be setting expectations for Laura and letting her know what you expect of her. It very clearly outlines how you expect her to treat your car, how you expect her to treat you, and how you expect the outcome to be. So in this chapter was an anecdote, which I'll share with you. My husband and I were living in Los Angeles, and our friend Melody found herself between apartments. Hi, Melody, if you're listening. And basically, she had a couple weeks or 10 days where she was between apartments, and she didn't really have anywhere to live. And what helped her feel welcome in my home, and what helped us know as a couple, this is what's going to happen, we basically said to her, okay, why don't you come stay with us? Stay with us for 10 days. And during that time, she knew what food she could eat, what time we went to bed, what computer she could use, what the Wi-Fi password was, where she would be sleeping, and our schedules. She had a very clear understanding of how we ran our household, and it was a very good time. I loved being able to help her. She loved being able to stay with us. It almost was, we didn't want it to end. So that's an example that definitely worked out for all parties. So what about boundaries in general in your life? And what about being worried about being a bitch? Do a little exercise with me if you want to pause this and you have a pen and pad, or if you just want to kind of ruminate over it while you're driving or walking around, that's fine too. Where in your life are you feeling the most taxed and the most drained? And the first thing you usually think of, whether it's home, family, relationship, work, or maybe all of those things, that's where you need to work on your boundaries. As women, we tend to sometimes find ourselves in caretaking relationships. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not a huge caretaker, but I do enjoy taking care of the people that I love. So in a caretaking relationship, where are you feeling taken advantage of? What about kids? If you're a parent, you probably often feel taken advantage of, unheard. And how many times as a parent have you heard, "You suck. You're mean. I hate you." That means you're doing your job. But how many parents out there avoid those feelings of hurt? How many parents out there avoid confrontation because they don't want to be called mean? They don't want to be called a bitch. They don't want to be called the mean mommy or the mean daddy, or they don't want to hear "I hate you" from their kid. Sometimes it's about choosing battles, and sometimes it's about avoiding the power struggle. But if that is your norm, that's really going to bite you in the butt later on. It's also not a good way for your kids to learn how to relate to adults, especially you. What about romantic relationships? Are you a caretaker? Are you being called selfish? Are you being called difficult? Those are scary things to be called. Those are hurtful things to be called. And a lot of times, we'll go out of our way to avoid being known as the bitch. If people in your life or you are familiar with this phrase, "It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission," that's a classic example of someone who is not exercising boundaries. What about your career? Are you the bitch at work? Are you the boss bitch? I've been in management positions before. I don't even want to know how many times I get called a bitch behind my back. So really difficult, especially in a career where a lot of times your job is managing expectations, sometimes to clients, sometimes to coworkers. It can be really difficult, and it cannot feel good to be doing your job and being called a bitch. So what about boundaries exactly makes us feel like we might be a bitch? The biggest thing about boundaries is that we tell the world how to treat us. Sadly, there are a lot of people that need boundaries in order to know how to act toward each other. Picture a child throwing a tantrum. As a parent, you'd have to give a timeout. You'd have to be the one to say no. You'd have to be the one to say you can't have more, because the child is not emotionally equipped or mature enough to be able to decide for themselves what is in their best interest. The same is true of many people that we have to interact with and relate to on a daily basis. We can't always choose the people in our lives, especially when it comes to career and especially when it comes to family. So in these cases where we can't choose people and we have to move forward, how do we set healthy boundaries? How do we improve these relationships? How do we communicate smoothly and respectfully and demand respectful communication toward ourselves? So let's explore three phrases in boundaries that are pretty commonplace and helpful in your day-to-day life, in your relationships and family and career. So here's an example of a boundary. Somebody is screaming at you. Somebody's yelling at you. If somebody's treating you poorly or somebody's speaking to you disrespectfully, instead of raising your voice, instead of retreating, instead of feeling bad, try this phrase. It's not okay for you to speak to me that way. It doesn't attack the person. It doesn't put up your defenses. But what does it say? This is not okay. It is not okay for you to speak to me that way. Does it sound bitchy? Absolutely. In the tone of society wanting women to be quiet and never speak their minds and be doormats. That might feel uncomfortable and it might feel bitchy at first. And you might have to say it a lot. But as you grow into the idea of boundaries, one, you'll be a lot more comfortable saying things like this. And two, you'll probably have to say them a lot less. Because the more people hear that from you, the more respectfully they speak with you. Now, I've actually had to hear that in my life several times. And I appreciate it because it tells me you overstepped a line. And we're all humans and we all make mistakes. And you know what? If somebody is saying those phrases to you, that's actually helpful to you. So whether hearing or saying a phrase such as, it is not okay for you to speak to me that way, it's actually a good experience. Here's another example. Say somebody's trying to set an appointment, somebody's asking you for a favor, or somebody's actually asking you to do something that you do not want to do or you do not feel comfortable with. In the case of teens, maybe we're looking at peer pressure, drinking, drugs, sex, whatever. Just to give you an example. A good phrase for this is, that does not work for me. Now, tone has a lot to do with it, but if you say, that doesn't work for me, that's not going to work for me. And it doesn't accuse the person of doing something to you. It's not aggressive and it's not shaming. And it tells the person where what is okay with you and what works for you stops. That doesn't work for me. It's very useful. And I find that I use it even when I'm making plans with my friends for coffee. Oh, that doesn't work for me. But then it can be moved on to, can we try something else? What about a different day? So that's a good multi-purpose tool that you can use. And you might feel like a bitch the first couple times you say it. Just please don't put sorry in front of it. Because what you do then is you apologize and you fault find with yourself for having boundaries. And that makes people not take it seriously. Let me repeat that. Don't say sorry, that does not work for me, because that puts an apology in front of your boundary and you're pretty much wiping out everything that you say after sorry. So sorry is like the magic eraser of boundaries. Pretty much in order to stay healthy, happy, and sane, you need to have boundaries. So don't apologize for your boundary, but be open to kind of working with a different situation. That does not work for me. How about Sunday? That does not work for me. Why don't we go swimming instead? That does not work for me. Let's think up some more ideas. Ready for the third phrase? No. No is a complete sentence. I'm sure you've heard that before. You don't have to qualify or quantify or explain or adjust. No. You can be open to another time or another way or let's do something else, but no can mean no, and you don't have to say sorry no. No is actually one of the healthiest words that we learn. It was actually my first word. I had a cousin visiting and she kept trying to take my toys, and according to my mother and my aunt, I kept saying no, 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 Brandy, no, 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 no. So, I'm not sure that that was nice or not. We go back to the bitch having boundaries, the 2-year-old bitch in this case, who was not willing to share her toys. But no lets people understand what you are okay with and what they can expect from you. Think of the alternative. If you say yes to everything, you're setting your entire life up for a domino effect of failure because you can't say yes to everything and do everything all the time. So no is helpful in the sense that it helps you manage your time, manage your finances, and manage your energy. By saying no to certain things, you open the door to say yes to other things, and that includes in dealing with the person you're saying no to. Mom, can I have a sleepover tonight? No. No. I love you. That does not work for me. Let's do Sunday instead. If you're scared of no, try sing-songing no. No. That's like the soft no. That lets them down a little bit more than no, right? So do a little sing-song no, just to kind of ease your way into your comfort zone of saying no. Try no. Try no, that does not work for me. Try no, let's revisit this. You can soften your no. Again, don't apologize for your no. Soften your no. And let the person know that you're saying no, but you're able to continue the conversation. When you say no to certain things in your life, it opens the door to say yes to others. When you say no to certain things, you can divert energy that was previously sucked into something you didn't want to do and funnel it into new things that you did want to do and haven't had a chance to. It also opens the door to new relationships and healthier relationships. Finally, it also helps keep your children and the people that you care for safe and secure. So now that you know three phrases to kind of practice, and they are good boundaries phrases, let's explore why using boundaries might make you feel like other people would think you're a bitch. If you're a pleaser and you're a helper, you're going to have a lot more trouble with this than if you're somebody that is more aggressive. And I don't mean any of those terms in a negatory way. We all at some point need to be caretakers and helpers and aggressors at some points in our lives. But if you're leaning more toward being a people pleaser, or you have relationships in your life where you are a primary caretaker, you sometimes can probably feel like, I'm not living up to what I need to be doing in life. If I say no, I'm a bitch. If I say no, they'll hate me. If I say no, I'll be a failure. And that's just not the case. The more expectations that you put on yourself, the more you will reflect to the world that they need to put those same unrealistic expectations on you. And I think that bears saying again, the more unrealistic expectations you have on yourself, the more you put out to the world, this is what you can expect of me. You can expect completely unrealistic expectations. If the world is hearing from you that it's okay to take, it's okay because she will say yes, the world is going to start taking advantage of you. The world is also going to start not understanding when it's disrespecting you. And sometimes that can make people treat you with less respect and less care and less respect for your time and your assets than you deserve. So, in being worried about being a bitch, in being called a bitch, in being worried about the fallout from saying no, from saying that does not work for me, from saying you can't speak to me that way, we have to draw on our courage and our internal strength. We have to be our own best friend and caretaker first. If you've ever been on a plane, they tell you put the mask on your own face and then assist with the masks of others. That's a huge boundaries parable right there for you. You need to put your own mask on first before you can help the other people around you. You need to be able to breathe before other people around you can breathe. You need to fill up your own vessel first before you can spill it out into other people's cups. So the next time you're worried about being a bitch, the consequences of not being a bitch are far worse. So in that book, Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend, it describes basically your life is a mobile and everybody is attached by strings to you. It's kind of like this little mental exercise that they make you do where you're envisioning you as a mobile and everything in your life is attached to you by these strings. And if one gets knocked out of balance, everything else kind of shifts. And when you start to work on boundaries and when you start to make these changes on how you demand and expect people to relate to you, everything kind of gets switched around and gets a little crazy. So another reason why people are scared of being bitches is they really don't want to rock the boat. We might be miserable, but we sure are comfortable. And I say that right along with you in my experience. I'm guilty as charged with many boundaries problems in everything from relationships to nieces and nephews to pets to career. So I'm not speaking from some kind of mountain here. I'm right there in the trenches with you on that. So it can be really scary, the retaliation and the outcome of exercising boundaries and people thinking you're a bitch or people thinking that you're not doing what they consider your job. And whether or not that's healthy or fair of them to put those expectations on you, it's not good to keep them there for life. You can't grow as a person. You can't recognize your full potential as a person if you're constantly being sucked dry. If you're constantly being taxed, if you're constantly feeling drained, you cannot experience your life to its fullest and you cannot give back to the world with all of your talents if you can't ever fill up your glass, if you're always being drained. And that's why boundaries are so important to have. So again, we have to rely and draw on our own courage and our own strength. Don't be afraid, because I'm right there with you, and countless other people in the world have had to do this too. And I promise you, all you're going to lose are the things that were sucking you dry. So in the beginning, when I said that boundaries set expectations, help you take care of yourself and eliminate the relationships and habits in your life that are toxic, this is what I'm talking about. There was a job I had a while ago that I really loved, but it was sucking the life out of me, physically and mentally and emotionally. I would come home and cry all the time, and it wasn't necessarily anybody's fault. Except for I was working myself too hard and I was letting other people drive me too hard. I was not saying no. I was a yes man. Now, I'm not saying go blow up your life, right? Do what you love and enjoy what you're doing, but don't run yourself ragged and don't let others do the same thing to you. The same with a relationship. You could love somebody to death. You could be absolute best friends with them and love them as a person, and they can suck you dry. They can be a taker. They can leave no room in the relationship for what you want. And as much as it hurts sometimes to have to let go and say goodbye, sometimes it's necessary for us to be healthy and for us to move on and for us to make room in our lives for the relationships that will treat us well. Conversely, and because I've been an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old at some point, I did have bad relationships on my end. I am not unguilty of bad boundaries toward other people, being a heartbreaker here and there myself. Whether or not you're the bad boundaries person or the vampire in the situation, whatever end of the situation you're in a bad boundaries relationship, you can still love the person. And you can still choose to let them into your life, but not without boundaries. So if you're in a relationship where you feel like you're either sucking someone dry or being sucked dry, a boundary needs to happen somewhere. So how do we move forward? How do we step into our new life with boundaries? Well, you might have some things blow up in your face. It might be a job. It might be a relationship. It might be that you have to deal with a very unpleasant situation with a child. And I have been there with you, both as the heartbreaker and the heartbroken, as the mean manager and the person who quit, as I would say the bad aunt, because I don't have kids, but I've been the bad aunt. I've been mean auntie many times. It's not going to be sunshine and rainbows, but it is necessary for your mental health and for the health of the relationships in your life. And the longer you hold on to these unhealthy boundaries and these unhealthy relationships, the less room you're giving for these relationships to grow and flourish. You're starving your relationships right now if you're letting them exist in a world where they don't have boundaries. You're starving your career to death if you're in a job where you're setting the boundaries for them to take advantage of you and you're not receiving any payoff. I'm not telling you to be irrational and leap off a bridge and, you know, get divorced and kick your kids out of the house and quit your job all in the same week. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about baby steps with these phrases. I'm talking about retraining the relationships in your life, redirecting the energy in your life to be healthy. The sad part is that sometimes relationships do have to end. Sometimes there is no fixing them. These are very few and far between. Think through the scenario and just kind of take it slow in that case. Like, I don't want you to be out of a job because you tell your boss, I'm sick of you overworking me, or saying to your significant other, you can't speak to me that way and I hate you and I'm divorcing you. I don't want that to happen, obviously. But you do need to allow the room in your life for these relationships and facets of your life and your personality to grow. And the more you are able to exercise boundaries in your life, the richer your life experience will be. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please drop me a line at berettafleur@icloud.com, BERETTAFLEUR. I'm always happy to hear from you on what you would like to talk about next. Please visit my website, berettafleur.com. Thanks so much and enjoy your experience.